Welcome back to the Equipped to Lead podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, and today I want to begin a little mini-series titled How to Master Ministry Transitions. Most of us know instinctively that transitions where we decide what to do, where to go, and how to move forward are really make or break moments in our lives. So it is critically important that we get ministry transition times right in our lives. Before we jump in, let me remind you, you can head over to paultotimothy.com, find other podcasts, as well as a free ministry training course, How to Find and Empower Your Ministry Team, that's been used by hundreds and hundreds of leaders. We want to offer it to you for free. We want to invest into your ministry. Now, back to the focus of today, mastering ministry transition. Specifically, I want to chat through the question, how do you know when it's time to leave? One of the questions that I ask myself, it has helped me immensely, is this. When I am confronted with opportunity, either an offer has been made, a request has been made, but it's going to require a ministry transition for me to go into that direction. Could be something generated in my own heart. But I ask myself this question on the front end of knowing when it's time to make a ministry transition. Here's the question. Am I leaving something or am I going somewhere? I know that it requires both. I've been in ministry for many, many, many years now. And I know that ministry transitions will involve leaving something and going somewhere. But what I mean when I ask myself that question is, am I leaving something more than I am going somewhere? Or am I going somewhere more than I'm leaving something? And I believe this. I think it's more important that I'm going somewhere than simply moving away from something. So I want to have the disposition in my heart that I am going somewhere and not simply leaving something. I believe that there are two areas that are essential for making the decision to leave. I want to talk to you about both of them. These are very foundational. I think they really do help us answer the question, am I going somewhere more than I am leaving something? Let me give you the first thing that I think is absolutely foundational. It's that we have to have a good theology about God's guidance in our lives. The parable of the sower helps us immensely here. You remember the four categories of the parable of the sower. Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8. Here they are just succinctly. The first category are those who do not believe that God has spoken to them. They have no clarity on that. So they don't last where they are. The second category, these are those who receive God's guidance with enthusiasm, but they don't believe that suffering is an essential part of that calling. They fall away. The third category, those that do not believe that repurposing their life is essential. So worries, riches, and pleasures enter in, choke the word. They bring no fruit to its development. So those three categories in the positive would be stated like this. My theology tells me that I have to have a great clarity about what God is speaking. Secondarily, I'm going to have to suffer when He reveals His purpose to me if I'm going to be able to bring that purpose to fruition. Thirdly, I am also going to have to repurpose my life in specific ways, divesting and investing into what He has said. Those three categories are dealt with conceptually in the one emphasis. Luke 8:15, Luke's gospel brings this out, and they brought forth fruit with endurance. So there really is a fourth category. Endurance is simply those who have clarified what God has said, are ready to suffer for what God has said and know that they have to repurpose their life for what God has said. That's a good theology of guidance. And anyone, you see this in your church members, you see this in ministers' lives, unless they have a good theology founded on the principles of the parable of the sower, they will very likely make presumptuous decisions about what they're doing. The first kind of presumptuous decision that they can easily fall into because of a bad theology is that they can move somewhere without deep level of conviction. What a mistake. They need to do the work to gain clarity in their heart. The second kind of presumption that has fallen into because of bad belief is the belief that if God is in it, this thing is going to move forward with relatively little friction. It's just not true. There are circumstances and demonic assault that comes against the purposes of God. And the only way that you can move beyond that is with tenacious, focused endurance. I'm going to stick it out. The third kind of presumptuous belief is the belief that I can move into a new role without radically repurposing my life. No, it will have to deal with that. So presumption is typically caused by people believing that clarity is not essential, suffering will be minimal, and repurposing is not that big of a deal. That will easily lead into presumptuous decision making, and it causes pretty weak-willed leaders that are easily pushed out of a particular ministry context. So a good theology really is essential. And if you don't have that where you are, leaving is not the answer right now. Coming back and saying, Lord, I need clarity on your voice in my life for where I'm serving. Lord, I need to deal with a willingness to suffer for what you are doing. Lord, I need to focus on repurposing whatever is essential in order to fulfill this call, divesting, taking away stuff, and investing, adding stuff into my priorities. That's the first place to begin when there is an inkling. Do I have a good theology of guidance for me to understand that I'm going somewhere more than I'm leaving something? Is founded on a good theology of guidance found in the parable of the sower and the seed. But I want to talk to you about a second area that's a big deal here. How do you recognize the signs that God is preparing you for a ministry transition? I believe that there are three biblical motivations that are typical of God instilling His voice in your life that ministry transition is imminent. It's around the corner. He's preparing you. This is what they are. I think He moves you by the fear of the Lord. I think He moves you by a distinct promise for the future. And I think He moves you by having you consumed in your heart about the needs that are before you. Fear, promise, and need. Where do I get those? Hebrews 11. They seem to be foundational, very salient motivations of Noah, Abraham, and Moses. Let me share with you. In Hebrews 11, you'll find that Noah was moved by fear and he built the ark. Abraham left his security, not even knowing, having a detailed map of where he was going, knowing that he was pursuing God developing a great nation. Thirdly, Moses, he left the riches of Egypt to pursue God's voice. What do you see in each of those? With Noah, you see the fear of the Lord. With Abraham, you see the prominent means of bringing ministry transition to Abraham about promise, the promise of God doing something great. Moses, what do you see? A man that is consumed with needs that are unmet unless he makes a major transition in his own life. Those three I have found to be a really core indicator that God may be instilling in me a transition point. To me, the fear of the Lord, as Noah experienced it, was to honor the voice of God, but it was also to protect his own family and to be a redemptive cause for certain people. That fear of the Lord, he moved out of a sense of reverence for God. I had a dear friend that has shared with me that as the Lord was dealing with him, he said, "I felt like the Lord spoke one morning that I'm not going to speak to you about this again." And what he is emphasizing is this has come down to whether you honor and reverence my voice or not. That's a fear of the Lord kind of motivation. Secondarily, you'll often find that in a transition time, that promise, an instilled promise of God that there is something of greatness that he wants to produce through your life, but it will require embracing a lot of vulnerability, a lot of insecurity, many times releasing what we have in order to embrace where we are going. Abraham so exemplifies that, doesn't he? Willingness to leave without a clear roadmap. Thirdly, this area of need. Moses chose to suffer with the children of Israel rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of the sinful carnal lifestyle that was offered to him in Egypt. Why did he do that? He's consumed with the need. Unless I step in to meeting this need, something of great significance is going to be lost. So, just in summation, you need a good theology of guidance. A good theology of guidance will incorporate these concepts. Conviction. I need to have clarity of what God has said. Suffering. I will have to pay a price in order to move into effective ministry. Investment, repurposing. I'm going to have to repurpose my life through specific investments and divestments in order to be effective. That's the foundation of a good theology. Make sure that you're thinking in line with the necessity of conviction, suffering, and repurposing. But the second area that we've talked about is how do you discern this time period when God is instilling within you a ministry transition, a heart for change? You begin sensing there's something around the corner here, something is imminent. What is going on? Very typically, you'll find three motivations to go somewhere being instilled within you. Fear or reverence for the Lord, a promise of greatness and significance of what God wants to do, and thirdly, being consumed with the needs that are before you in your heart, knowing that those needs will not be met without a significant redirection point in your own life. We find those in Noah, in Abraham, and in Moses. Those are pretty good examples to follow, because they all made very successful ministry leadership transitions. I want to close out with a story. Andy Stanley has shared in the book Louder Than Words a story about his dad, Charles Stanley, who passed away not too long ago, April 18th, 2023, at the age of 90. Of course, Charles Stanley was known as the pastor of First Baptist Church in Atlanta. His radio and TV ministry reached millions of people every week. His son, Andy, pastors in Atlanta. He also pastors a very large church. Andy, talking about his dad, Charles, refers to the day that when his dad became his hero. Well, Charles Stanley was an associate pastor leading youth ministry at First Baptist. The senior pastor resigned, and they asked Charles to step in and assume those senior pastor abilities. Well, the church began to grow. Everyone was excited, and, well, I guess not everyone. There was a group of people that they began using their political influence. They were the key leaders in the church. They're the ones that were chaired the key committees, including the committee of those who served on the committee. They were the they of First Baptist. and they created a grassroots movement, some of them, to get rid of Charles. Charles had been asked to serve interim, but Charles felt a stirring in his heart that God was calling him to be the lead pastor of that church, to move from associate pastor to lead pastor. Well, there was a group of very powerful people that came against him. He was about 40 years old at the time, and the complaints went along these lines. Charles is too evangelistic. Charles is too mystical. He talks about his relationship with God all the time. They also knew, these carnal folks in the church, that they couldn't control Charles Stanley, and they wanted to get rid of him. It came a day that one of the deacons, Deacon Myers, I'm surprised that Andy points him out by name in his book, but Andy tells the story very transparently. Deacon Myers climbed into the pulpit one day and was making all kinds of directions and redirections for the church, and he is one of the staunch leaders that was against Charles Stanley becoming the lead pastor. Well, as Deacon Myers was in the pulpit that day and doing his best to lead the church away from a commitment to Charles Stanley, he got angrier and angrier, and to the astonishment of the entire congregation in attendance that day at First Baptist in Atlanta, Deacon Myers, who is a big deal in the church, he's the big deal deacon and Sunday school leader and main leader and one of the very main leaders in the church, this deacon slipped up and said the word damn in the pulpit. Well, Charles stood up, and he's the interim pastor, and he walked over and simply told him, now you'll need to watch your language. And Deacon Myers looked back at Charles Stanley, and keep in mind, this is all happening in front of that congregation. Myers responded, no, you better watch yourself or you might get punched. And Deacon Myers had a poised fist shaking in front of Charles Stanley's face. They stood there eye to eye for several seconds, and Charles was unwilling to back down. To the shock of everyone, brother, sister, deacon, Sunday school teacher, Mr. Myers reared back and smacked Charles on the jaw. Hit him in the pulpit. Can you imagine? That was a defining moment for Andy Stanley, because Andy, Charles' son, was sitting not too many pews away from the front, and he's watching his dad. And he watched how his dad staggered back for a moment. He'd just been hit in the chin by Deacon Myers. He said, my dad never said a word. My dad just staggered back and then walked back and stood his ground in front of the church. He said, from that moment on, it didn't really matter what anyone did. They saw the resolve of Charles Stanley, who ultimately became the leader, senior pastor, First Baptist in Atlanta, and led that church into a season of very fruitful ministry. Let me share with you, ministry transitions, when God is moving you, maybe like Charles Stanley, into one position to another. But when God is moving you, let me encourage you, you need a solid foundation of theology based on conviction, willingness to suffer, and the necessity of repurposing your life. But as God is moving you, allow Him to instill a reverence for the Lord, the fear of the Lord, a promise for the future, and needs that must be met through your commitment. Fear, promise, and need are very often the motivators. We see those in Noah, in Abraham, in Moses. I think Charles Stanley had a good theology of guidance, and I also think he was seated in the motivations that God typically brings in change. As you consider your possibility of change, you need to be going somewhere more than you're leaving something. And going somewhere is going to require a good theology of guidance. And secondarily, it's going to require interior motivations, typically along the lines of the fear of the Lord, the promise of the Lord, and the needs of people. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute. Thanks for joining us today as we talk about mastering ministry transitions.